It's funny. I planned the sermon. I didn't plan it, but I was working on the sermon like 3 weeks ago now, and now I'm just now starting to be able to get to finish it, because 2 weeks ago, I just threw the whole sermon out the window, and we just had a prayer time during church, and I thought that was absolutely awesome. And last week, I thought I was going to preach the whole sermon, but I only got halfway through it. So this week, I'm going to try and finish up this sermon on Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And this is really weird for me. I've never really done a participle sermon before, and this is a participle sermon. It's all about the participles in these verses. And participles are, again, I kind of explained this last week, but participles are actually verbs. And again, this is not me. I read this out of a book and try to understand it. Participles are verbs, words that are verbs that have some type of ending on it. So it's not actually a verb word. It's now a describing word, like rooted. You can root something, but this is going to be rooted, okay? So it's a participle. But in the Greek, participles are a little bit more complicated than what we have in the English, because they can have very specific characteristics. And so in this one passage in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, there's like four or five different participles that have some really neat things that I want you to understand in them. Okay, so Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. So then, and we covered this part last week, this is just a quick review. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. Now again, last week I was talking about that excitement in which we accept Christ, and Christ comes into our lives, and there's that wonderment, and then there's that drive, and there's that idea that everything is possible at that very moment. And you know what? That never goes away. The feeling might fade, but the reality of the truth that everything is possible with God, nothing is impossible for him. Well, any mountain can be conquered. Any problem can be solved. All that is true in Christ at all times. But it seems like the more we live, the more we go back into the world, the less that truth continues to sink into our lives. But you have to understand very simply that it is there. The truth of the reality of Christ and the power that he can have in your life from the very beginning to the very end is the same all the way through. And that's why he says very plainly, he says, continue to live in him, rooted. And that's the first participle that's in this passage, rooted. And if you remember what I told you last week, rooted is, and I got to look back here, is in the perfect tense, okay? It's a perfect tense. Perfect tense means it's something that is accomplished, that is done, is completely finished. And so when he says that you're rooted, that's something that was established in Christ. And once you allow Christ to come into your life, it's done. He's there. He's rooted. There's nothing that's going to change that. The amount of love that God has for you is not going to change. He's not going to increase his love or decrease his love. It is all there in Jesus. And it's a one-time thing that's always available to you. It's always bubbling up to you at all times. It's established. It's done. It's finished. When Christ was on the cross and he says, it's finished, guess what? He meant it. It's finished. The work that brings us to him is done. It's completely done. So we're rooted in Christ. Not only are we rooted, it says we're rooted and then we're built up in him. We're built up in Christ. Remember what I was talking about last week about the idea that we got the roots of the plant? And then coming out of that plant, we're built up. And the roots grab the nutrients, or the love, the grace, and the mercy. But then it doesn't just stay down in the roots, because that wouldn't make any sense. God's love bubbles up. And it comes up through the roots into the vine, or into the branch, or into the trunk of the tree, if you want to bring it into that idea, into the trunk of the tree. And that trunk of the tree builds up the rest of the branches and the leaves and all the different aspects. All the nutrients come from the roots to make sure that that plant continues to live. And so Jesus Christ is that vine, and he is the one who is building us up. And this participle right here in this built up is in the present tense. Okay, the first one was in the perfect tense, which is something that was done and completed once and for all. But this participle is in the present tense, and that means that it's a continuous action. It never, ever stops. It's a continuous action. It never stops. He is constantly trying to build us up. He is constantly trying to bring into our lives mercy and grace and love. He's constantly trying to show us every single day, at every single moment, all the time, continuously, 24/7, Jesus is bringing that grace and love and mercy into our lives. Whether we're accepting it, whether we're receiving it, whether we see it and recognize it is really up to us. But at all times, Christ is trying to work in our lives. Every day, at every moment, with every circumstance, good and bad, he is working. He is building
us up. He is teaching us new things, new truths about who he is and what he wants to be in our life. It's constantly, and he's doing it. It's nothing that we're doing because it's in the passive tense. It's in the idea that God is doing it. He is building us up. Remember this? Okay, so we stopped right there. So we're on our third participle. Our third participle, I still feel so weird talking about participles. I don't know why this feels strange to me, but it feels very strange to me. So we're on our third participle. I feel like an English teacher or something, and I am definitely not an English teacher, that is for sure. Amen. There you go. So it says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. Now, it sounds like it's saying the same thing. Build up and then strengthen, because strengthened is the next participle that we're looking at. NIV is the only one that is translated, one of the only ones that has translated this word that's being used here as strengthened. All the rest of them have translated, if we have other translations out there, it's probably established. Anyone disagree with me on that? If you have a different translation besides the NIV, what's it say in yours? Stabilize, okay, same idea. Establish is in most of the rest of them. It's that idea of establish. So what's the difference between being built up and established or strengthened? There's something really important that's going on here, because this participle is also in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing, if you didn't get it before, it's an ongoing continuous action. This participle is also in the passive tense, in which it's being done to me rather than me doing something. I am the recipient of this continuing strengthening or establishment in my life. It's being done to me. God is doing it for me and around me and to me, okay? And it's going on all the time. So what's the difference between being built up and being established or being strengthened? I was struggling with that, trying to figure out what the difference is and how what's going on there. And then it hit me, you know what? God is building me up in all kinds of different new areas of my life. You know what I'm saying? He's always working every single day. If I will allow my eyes and my heart and my spirit to receive it, he is trying to teach me something new every day. So you're never too old. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, 90 years old in your faith with Christ. Every single day, I believe that Jesus is trying to build you up in some new area of your life, because if you're still living here on this earth, he still has a plan for you. Every single day, he's got something that he wants you to accomplish every single day. As a Christian, I think we forget that. I think we think that, you know, we're just hanging out until he comes back and then we get to go to heaven and that's all there is to it. But that's not it. If I'm here on the earth today, there is something he wants me to accomplish and you to accomplish. Something that he prepared in advance for us to do. Something he wants us to learn or to establish in our lives. So every day he's trying to build us up, continuously build us up. But even in that building up, there's things that happened in my past that he needs to reinforce in my life. To establish, to root me, to affirm me, to make sure that I understand it. To teach me a lesson from a different angle. Have you ever learned a lesson? I don't know why I'm not getting an example in my head, but there we go. Thank you. I just love that. Have you ever given, there's a circumstance in your life that you just felt like you couldn't do it, you couldn't give, you couldn't, you know, finances are bad and all these other things, and there's just no way you can meet all the bills and do what you're expected to do and all this other stuff, and you just finally like, all right, whatever, I'm just going to give. I feel like the Lord is telling me to do this, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I can't afford it, even though it seems like it's going to put me in a bad situation, I'm just going to give because I feel like the Lord is really calling me to do it, and so you do it. Has anyone done that? Please say, tell me some, it's a couple of you have. Okay, so you've done it, and what happened? Well, we went destitute and broke and had to sell the house and the car and everything. You know, we didn't have any food in the refrigerator. Is that what happened? Really? Did that happen to anyone? I gave and all of a sudden everything just fell apart. Raise your hand real quick just so I can make sure. It didn't? Really? It worked out? Did it work out for the good? Did God do a miraculous, amazing thing? Yes? This is the audience participation part of the sermon. Yes? Okay, so we have a room full of people here today. I'm going to guess somewhere around 180, 190 people here today. And we have not got a single person that says, you know what? I felt God was calling me to give. I didn't think I could do it. Didn't think it was going to happen. It didn't make any sense, but I gave. And we don't have a single person that says it was just a total train wreck. Hello? Do you see what's going on here? Okay, so God built something into you right now. Even if you hadn't had that circumstance in your life, even if that hasn't happened to you yet, you've just learned something. He's just built something into you right now. I'm trying to tell you that he is faithful in all aspects of our lives. And he wants us to step out in faith. He's trying to teach us something. But even after you've learned that lesson, okay, this is where we're getting established, okay, where we're getting strengthened. Even after you learn that lesson, live that lesson, experience the truth that God is going to do it the next time, what did you do? Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I could. Yes? Remember that? We go through the same struggle, okay? And God is, he's trying to strengthen that belief that we already have. We understand it, we know it in our head, but allowing it to become a continuous action, allowing it to become a continuous fruit of our lives, he has to establish that thought, that new knowledge over and over and over again. So each day, he's not only trying to teach us something new, but he's establishing what he's already taught us in our life from different angles, from different ways. It's an amazing thing. And you know what? God's doing it. God is doing it. He's the one who's calling you. He's the one who's providing for you. He is the one who's watching over you and protecting you in so many different ways. It could be finances. It could be your health. It could be your relationships. It could be all these different areas of your life that God is trying to work for the good of you in your daily life. He's rooted you. He's built you up. He's establishing you. He's reteaching you these different things. Why is he doing that? He's conforming us into the likeness of Jesus. He's trying to allow that small spark in our lives that he lit through Jesus to be fanned into a flame that is going to burn brightly in your community, in your home, in your workplace, in your school. He's trying to do that on a continuous basis. Remember their present participles, present passive participles? He's doing it every single day. So what's our part in this? Do we just get to sit back? Wish I had a chair up here. Okay, God, just take care of me. Here I am. Just build me up and establish me. This is great. Is that it? No. Even though he's doing it, we still have to be a willing participant in it. You know what our participation is? It's the same from the very beginning when we first accepted Christ, to the next day and the next day, and even to this day right now, our participation is the exact same thing. You know what it is? It is by grace that we are saved through what? Through faith. Our active participation in this whole thing that's going around us and in us and around us every single day is believing. Is believing that God is working in my life. Having faith that he will do the things that he says he's wanting to do in our lives. Just believe and have faith and take that next step. Well, see, now you just changed it. You just changed the faith. I could handle it, Eldon, when you were saying all I got to do is believe. But now you just put that step in there. You see, faith and believing requires a step. It requires you to move one direction or the other. And it's requiring you to realize that if you step in the wrong direction, God is big enough and able enough to say, not quite right. Just change the direction just a little bit, and then you take the next step. But so many times people think, oh, man, I just don't know which way to go. I don't know where to step. I don't know my next step in my walk and what he's calling me to do. You know what? Just take a step, because so many people are just sitting there, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But they don't move anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And you might be in that same boat right now. At some point in time, just take a step. Left, right. I feel like I'm dancing now. Forward, back. Do something. Let him have the opportunity to block or to open the door for you in some way, shape, or form. Don't just sit there. Pray about it. Seek him. Know that he is working in your life. Every single day, continuously, he is building you up. Continuously, he's trying to establish your faith. All you need to do is believe that he is doing that and then take a step. Take a step. See what he's going to do. You see, that's what it's talking about, walking with Christ. You got to walk before you can run. Live with him. Let him do his job. You believe and take a step. It's an amazing process. And you know what the result of all this is? You take a step, he blocks you, you take another step, he opens the door, you take another step, and you know what? In every step that you take that's in the direction that he's wanting you to go, he's building you up. He's establishing you even more every single day. And you know what? That might be in several different directions in your life every single day. He might be trying to build you up in your finances and in your relationships. He might be trying to build you up in your job and your faith and your understanding, your knowledge of him. He might be trying to do that every single day. You know, one of the most simple steps you can take is just opening up that book that tells you the truth of who he is. That's a step of faith. Because he's trying to talk to you. You know what the result of all this is? By chance, it happens to be our next participle. It's very interesting. Look what it says here. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened or established in the faith as you were taught. And then here it is, overflowing with thankfulness. That's the next participle, overflowing with thankfulness, that idea. And you know what? This isn't a perfect participle. It's not a once and done type of thing. It's the idea of a present, it's once again a present participle, but it's not passive. It's not being done to you. This is one of those things that you have to do. It's a present participle that is, and I got to look down here to see, because it's in the active voice. So it's something that we have to do. It's something that God has called us to do. As a matter of fact, it's a command. Do you realize that? To be thankful is a command. In Philippians 4:4, turn with me. It's just a few pages back. Philippians 4:4. I hear like three pages turning. What's going on with that? Okay, so in Philippians 4:4, just a couple pages back, it says very simply, and this is not a suggestion. This isn't try it on and see how it fits, and if you like it, try and do it. This is a command. These are exclamation points. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. If I didn't say it enough, he says, again, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, be in prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here it is. It's a command. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. You see what happens if we open ourselves up to God and what he's trying to do in the present time, continuously, passively, he's doing it to us. If we open ourselves up to God and what he's doing, if we actually start taking steps of faith in one direction or the other, we see the result of what God is doing in our life. And the only response that is acceptable is rejoicing, is thankfulness, is an absolute awe of what God is doing. Now, it's simple to thank God when everything is going good, when you take a step and there's a reward, right? It's like, whew, that was good. Thanks, God. It's good to say thank you then. But sometimes when we take a step where God is calling to us, sometimes it's not how do you say it? Sometimes it's not so pleasant. Praise him in the storm. Job said it wonderfully. Job said it incredibly. In Job chapter 1, I think it is, everything's falling apart. He lost all of his kids, lost all of his livestock. His home is gone. It's all gone. And he's sitting in a pile of rubble. He's got sores all over his body. His health is gone. Everything, it seems to be destroyed. The only thing that isn't destroyed is his wife. And she's going, just curse God and die. What an encouragement, huh? But look what Job says. Chapter 1, verse 21. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. May he be praised. You see, it's easy to thank him in the good times, but it's more difficult to thank him in the hard times. And understand that in the hard times, that God did not all of a sudden leave you. Remember, it's a present participle. God is continually building you up. God is continually establishing you every single day in the good times and in the hard times. As a matter of fact, it's in the hardest times of our life. It's in the greatest tragedies. It's in the parts that we don't want to ever experience again that God is working his greatest love. It's when he's showing you his greatest compassion. It's when he's establishing you so strongly that the storms of the world is not going to shake you. You see, it's through the troubles and the winds and the powers and the things that seem like they're going to blow us over that it strengthens us. Do you realize that? In a tree, it's the same type of thing. I don't know where this is. So you realize that with a tree? If you take a tree and plant it and put it in a bubble, I don't know how you put a tree in a bubble, but you made it so absolutely nothing would happen to it. No winds could affect it or anything like that. Do you realize if you took the bubble away, what would happen to that tree with the first, smallest, slightest breeze? Dunk. It'd fall over. You see, during the storms of the world, the breezes of the world, the winds of the world, it allows that tree to adjust and strengthen and allow the molecules, I don't know if this is right or not, but it allows that tree to get strengthened in its inner being so the bigger winds, when they come, it's able to withstand. It's the same way in our life. God is working in the hardest times of our lives in the greatest ways. The greatest lessons we learn are the ones that seem like they're mistakes. What scares me so often is in the hard times, it seems like that's when we stop taking steps. That's when we think God has abandoned us. And nothing could be further from the truth. Hear me, right now. Nothing could be further from the truth. He is right there every step of the way. He is working on your behalf every single day. He loves you. That root of love has not changed in any way, shape, or form. It's done. It's complete. It's right there. So how can we thank him? What does it mean? How are we supposed to thank God? What do we do to thank him? Maybe that's the problem. We don't know how to thank him. What does God ask? What does he want? What does he require? What is he looking for? If you're a parent here, or if you're a kid, you know what you got to do for your mom or your dad if you want to thank them. So what do we need to do to thank our Lord? What does he look for? What does he just look down and say, wow, that's my boy. I love it when he does that. That just cheers me up so much. What do? We can praise him. Probably the simplest thing of all is just praise him. Say thank you.
Even with tears.
Even with tears, say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just say thank you. You know what? A thank you goes a long ways. Have you ever noticed that? It goes a long, long ways in a person's life. God loves to hear from his kids. Just saying thank you. You know what, if I was a parent and all my kids ever did was, hey, Dad, I need this. Hey, Dad, I need that. Hey, Dad, come over here. I'm in trouble over here. Hey, Dad, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? How does that sound? I was getting annoyed just listening to my own voice doing that. What makes it all worthwhile? What makes me want to do that next thing for Gabe and Titus and Reagan and Karina and all those different kids? What makes me want to do it? It's when they come up every night, and they give me a hug and give me a kiss on my cheek. And I sometimes get a lipper. And they hug me and they say, thank you. I love you. When out of the blue, they make me some creation at art time. And they give it to me. Write a poem. Those things just, you go, wow. What do you want to do? You want to go sledding? You want to go skiing? You want me to buy you a pony? What do you want? Tell me what you want. I'll do it. Just tell me. Those are the moments that encourage. Our God is just like that. He doesn't need your encouragement. I don't need my kids' encouragement, but it sure is good when I get it. It is sure wonderful when he says thank you. It's awesome. But what else? You know one of the things that he loves? I got all these things written down. Oh, we're doing all right. Romans, is that it? No, it's all on the back page, Eldon. Look at Ephesians. I love this. Can I tell them that little thing I observed this morning, or should I just skip that completely? Nathan says, you're on your own, brother. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Look what pleases God. This is kind of, it's kind of funny to me. I like this. I'll show it to you, and you can yell at me later. So, all right. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says this. He says, speak to one another. There's one thing. Speak to one another. Talk it out a little bit. Speak to one another. But speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a couple things that are going on there. It says speak to one another. Not just speak to one another, but speak to one another in songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't know what the difference are, but maybe it's praise songs and hymns and I don't know what I don't know what that is. But you know what? He wants us to sing. He wants us to sing. You know why he wants us to sing? Because he gave you that gift. That's one gift that he's given to everybody. Do you realize that? Every single one of you have the gift of singing. Some of you are much better at it than others. But God doesn't care because he gave you the voice that you have and he loves to hear it. And some of you are looking down at this verse right now and saying, it says, make music in my heart. Yeah, it says that. But if your heart's overflowing, it's going to come out of your mouth. God wants to hear it. He loves your squeaky, flat, out-of-tone voice. He loves it. He loves to hear it. Yes, Ron, I'm talking to you, man. He loves it. And he wants to hear it. You know, that's why we come together. We're supposed to do it together. That way, those who are better make us who don't sound so good sound even better. He wants us to sing and to praise him and to worship him. That's so simple. Isn't it? I think so. If I would just sit and think of all the things that God did for me this week, I'm not going to list them off because it's a long list. It started as soon as I left here last Sunday and it's still going on even this morning. All the things that he's provided for me, all the way he's protected me, he's given to me, taught me. You know what? If I would just sit and think about those things, I don't have a choice whether I get to sing. I just sing. Because he's worthy. He's absolutely, incredibly worthy. How else can we say thank you to him? What other ways can we say thank you? There's a passage. This is a little bit strange, but it's in 1 Samuel, I think it is. Is it 1 Samuel? Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is Saul and God. And God had a very interesting commandment for Saul at one point in time. There's these people called the Amalekites. John, you're smiling like you read this week or something like that. But
I just have a feeling I know where you're going.
Oh, that's good because I don't all the time. So I'm glad someone knows where I'm going. So there's these people called the Amalekites. The Amalekites were not very good to Israel when they're coming out of Egypt. And so God was going to pay back the Amalekites for their unkindness to Israel. And so he said to Saul, he says, I want you to gather your armies and I want you to go attack the Amalekites. And this is what he says in chapter 15, verse 3. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them, but put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Boy, that sounds like a mean God, doesn't it? But you know what? It's not a mean God. He's a just God. He knows what's going on. He knows the hearts of the Amalekites. He knows them so much better than what we can judge them. All right? He knows. He says, I want you to go and wipe them out completely. So Saul takes his army. He goes to war. You skip down to chapter 15, verse 22. It says, But I did obey the Lord. It says in verse 22, but Samuel said, I got back up. I'm sorry. It says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Did you hear that? Do you remember what God's command was? Destroy it. Men, women, children, infants, sheep, cattle, camels, donkeys, destroy them all. But Saul went and he destroyed all but what the men wanted to keep. And they kept these things and they're going to sacrifice them. But this is what Samuel says. He says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and the arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You know what God wants more than anything? It's the same way with me and with you and with moms and dads. It's the same thing. We want what? Obedience. If you want to say thanks to God, obey him. Obey him. It's that simple. What do you mean obey him? You know what? It's this. Every day I know that he has rooted me in his love, mercy, and grace. Amen? Yes? Do we have that established anyway? That he cannot love me any more than he loves me right now. Can we establish that he is every day constantly trying to build me up, teach me new things, take me in new directions? Can we establish that? God is doing that every single day. Yes? Okay, there's about six of you. Good. So that's six of you I'm talking to. So he's building us up every single day. Not only is he building us up, but every single day, God is establishing us that faith. Okay? Yes? Excellent. We got about three more. Okay, so he's building us up. He's establishing us. And what is he asking us to do with that stuff that he's trying to teach us? He's asking us to do what? Take a step. Take a step of obedience. And every day, he will show us whether that's what he wants us to do. Every day, he will build us up. He will establish us. He will teach us new things to equip us for the work that he has for the next day. And the next day, and the next day. But Christians, listen to me right now. We've got to take those steps. If you're just putting Christ in your life on Sunday mornings when you come here and listen to the goofy guy and sing a few songs, that is not what God requires of you. God requires obedience of you every single day. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to be mindful of him. At every moment, with every decision, everywhere you go, he's there. And he loves you. And he wants to direct you, and he wants you to be obedient to him and follow him in the good times and in the bad. That's our God. That's why we follow him. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we want to please him. Nothing pleases him more than his children obeying him and following him. It's an amazing thing. And the more we do that, the more we take on the likeness of Christ, the more that light starts to burn and shine. The more people are attracted to it and start coming to the realization that there is a God. And he wants to work in their lives too. It's an amazing thing. I'm going to challenge you just to try it. Just to try it. Wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Lord, how do you want to work in my life? How do you want to build me up this day? How do you want to establish that faith deeper into my life? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do right now? You know, you got a chance to practice. That's what we're all about here. Practice. Practice makes perfect, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to start off at a very small level. The musicians are going to come forward, and they're going to be obedient to grab their instruments, and they're going to start playing a song. Okay? As the music goes and the leaders start to lead, we're going to have an opportunity to thank God. We're going to have an opportunity to sing, to lift our voices up together in praise and glory to our Lord and Father. You got an opportunity to do that right now. You also have an opportunity, as we're singing that song, God may be working on you right now. You may be standing here, and God has built you up for a reason, and he's calling you to the next step, and you have an opportunity right now, as we're singing the songs and thanking him, he's going to give you another chance. This is so cool. This is how our God works. He's going to give you another chance to test out this faith that he's building up in you. He's going to give you a chance to take a step, even as we sing. I don't know what that step is. It might be, it's going to be different for every single one that's here. But he's going to give you a chance to step. And maybe while you're singing, maybe you just need to say to the person next to you, I need to take a step to the right. And so you take a step to the right. Maybe I need to take a step forward and come up. Ask for prayer. Maybe you need to take that very first step of obedience. Allow Christ to become a part of your life. Let that Holy Spirit root you into God's love and grace and mercy through the stem and the branch of Jesus Christ. What's he calling you to do? Maybe he's calling you to go to the meeting here about Brazil. Oh, I can't afford that. Really? You can't afford it? Really? Are you really going to say, oh, I can't afford to go to Brazil? Is this not in my budget? Really? Is that what you're going to say? If God is calling you, are you really going to stand there and say, well, I just can't afford to go to Brazil? Can't afford to go to Romania. Is he calling you? Then take a step. You might walk over there and they might look at you and say, no, you can't go. And then you can say, Lord, I tried. They told me I can't go. But take a step. Maybe today you've never gone to breakouts. Maybe the step that you need to take after the song is over is to ask someone, what's this breakout thing that I can learn more about my God? Maybe that's the step you need to take this morning. Go to a breakout session. We got one back here on finances. We got one upstairs on Isaiah. Is that right? Isaiah upstairs. Finances back here. Kids, there's one for you all over the place. If you just want to sit down and talk about what I've talked about today, grab me and we'll sit down and talk about it. Take a step today. And it's not the cones or the cafe, okay? Maybe that's where he's calling you, but there's not a reason. It's not just to fill your stomach. Take a step. You're going to give an opportunity to practice right now. Musicians, come forward. People, stand. Maybe he's calling you to just come and help us at the nursing home this afternoon. I don't know. But it's not something that you've done before. Today he wants to build you up. He wants to bring something new into your life. As he brings something new, he'll establish the old. He's wanting to work. Are you going to let him? Maybe it's just time to respond and just thank him for what he's already done and how he's doing it. Because we serve an awesome God. Amen.